We are back doing a show. We haven't been gone that long.
Nah, just a couple of weeks.
The last show we did was published November the 9th.
Yeah, just 2 weeks.
And by the time this airs, it'll be almost a week after Thanksgiving. So happy Halloween.
Well, that's what we told them before.
Happy Thanksgiving. I hope you ate a lot of turkey, a lot of dressing, and you watched a lot of football.
Yeah.
I hope you're full of all of that, because I know I was. I smoked a turkey and I fried a turkey.
And I missed out on, well, both of them.
The smoked turkey I did a few months ago turned out so good. And this one, I wanted to take it off the grill and punt it into the woods. If there had been a field goal set up out here, I would have tried to kick it through the uprights.
Damn.
They said it was good, but by the time you get frustrated with something when it's not doing right, it's not going to taste good to you no matter what. You know
right,
what I mean?
It's just pointless.
I was just mad. I was just mad at the whole thing. Yeah. I just punched it. Before I forget, I want to thank everybody for downloading and listening to our Halloween episodes. The numbers are still climbing. Everybody's still checking that out, and we really appreciate it because we worked really hard on our Halloween stuff.
Yes, we did. Still didn't get to do half of what we wanted to either.
Yeah, but we did some stuff we didn't expect to do and set up some more stuff for next time. So yep. Thanks for checking that out. Wanted to tell everybody we're going to put some stuff out on our YouTube channel, which only has like one video on it right now. We brewed 15 gallons of beer night before last?
Thursday night. Thanksgiving
it was
night.
Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, well, we did our Thanksgiving early or late.
And so we filmed it. So our plan is to edit that stuff and put some audio to it and make like a video out of the whole process and put it out on YouTube. I'm looking at some more video editing software because the only thing I know how to use is Windows Movie Maker. And no matter how I save the videos, when I do a video in Movie Maker, the quality looks like crap. Like, I can't make good quality videos with Movie Maker. I don't know if I'm doing something wrong, but I doubt that's the best thing you could possibly use. So I'm going to check out something else, or if anybody out there wants to become our video editor, hey, we would love that.
Amen.
So you're gonna see a video of us brewing beer. We did 10 gallons of an IPA, and we did 5 gallons of Wool C.
I think the Wool C is going to be amazing.
I think the Wool C is going to surprise you. Yeah. I think it's going to be... I think Anthony was a little skeptical because we used our spent grains. But since we didn't do the sparging process, and we used like all the leftover, which still had a lot of hops and stuff in the kettle, I think it's going to be better than we expect.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But we're not expecting much, so that's good.
Yeah, it's our first time to do this on our own.
Yeah, and it was an all-grain batch. We didn't use any extract at all. This was... we've come a long way since my first Mr. Beer kit.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kim Coleman for letting us borrow his brew kettle. I want to make sure I said brew kettle because people might get the wrong idea if I said thanks, Kim Coleman, for the pot.
Yeah. Just for letting us have the pot.
Speaking of Kim Coleman, he's December the 1st, he's going to be at the Mississippi Ale House in Olive Branch doing a tap takeover. They're going to have a bunch of 1817 beer out there. I think he's going to be serving it, talking to people about the beer, high-fiving people, slapping people, you know, whatever you need.
It starts at 11 a.m. and goes until.
I hope I'm available to go to that because that sounds like it's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
But if you're in the area, be sure to go to the Mississippi Ale House in Olive Branch and hang out with Kill Pop Culture alumni Kim Coleman from the 1817 Brewing Company. What else have we got on announcements real quick? Of course, you know, we're still kind of on our break, but, you know, Star Wars is coming out December the 15th. So I know we'll do something then.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I'll probably do like I did last time and try to, like, sneak a little, record some audio of when it first starts. But I got to be careful because I don't want somebody to think I'm trying to bootleg the movie. I'm just trying to get everybody's response. Because when it pops up on the screen and says Star Wars,
yeah,
everybody starts cheering.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's kind of cool to put that on the podcast. I want to thank everybody for coming out to Iuka, to Jed's birthday bash that we did. We had a show. Man, our damn shameless promotion bill is covered in dust. Kill J had a show at Iuka 2 weeks ago? Yeah.
Yeah, 2 weekends ago.
And everything went really good. Really good crowd, really good response. And
that was a
really
fun,
good bands. It was a good lineup. Show. It was really fun.
I think I gave Jed a lap dance.
I think we all did.
Yeah, but like he grabbed hold of me and like pulled me in. And I was like sitting in his lap, and I was kind of scared. So
you know Jed, he knows what he likes.
I bailed.
you're playing water drums for Hell's Heathens, Devil the 16th at the Thirsty Devil, December 16th. That's how I take notes. Yeah. I just shorthand stuff.
It's for Jonathan's birthday jam.
Okay, I'll be out there for that.
It starts at 7 p.m. and goes until. Hell's Heathens goes on at 8, so you don't want to miss it.
Awesome. Is it just Hell's Heathens playing? That's the only band?
I think so.
I think they usually do one band.
This is the first time Hell's Heathens has gotten in the door at the Thirsty Devil, so the heathens and the devil are getting together.
Did I announce the New Year's show yet?
No.
I read my notes out of order, too. We got a... Killjay's got a show. New Year's. Let me see what New Year's falls on. Like, what day?
New Year's is on a Sunday, so it's probably going to be on a Saturday.
Well, let's see here. December the 31st is Sunday. That's New Year's Eve. I don't know. They may do it Sunday. I mean, it's New Year's Eve. I wouldn't think we would do a New Year's Eve show on any day other than New Year's Eve.
I hope you're off that Monday.
Oh, yeah. Everybody will be off that Monday, surely. Because that's New Year's Day. January the 1st.
Unless you work on a Walmart, Monday. And Walmart doesn't believe in but like one day of the year for people being off.
If you're not off on that Monday, I'm going to go ahead and say you should put in.
Yeah,
because that's gonna be the New Year's shows out there at Mr. Tony's are always a blast. They're always the bomb.
Yes,
we always have a really good time. This is our Justice for the League podcast. Do you like that? I came up with that.
Justice for the League. I love it.
I came up with that title today, actually, because I want justice for the Justice League. This is a Justice League review episode with a movies that don't suck built into it.
Yeah.
For those of you who didn't maybe read the description, if you haven't seen the show, don't worry. We're going to start out doing non-spoiler, and then we're going to take a break and give you fair warning, and then we're going to go into the spoiler stuff. So there'll be a point where you'll need to stop the podcast if you haven't seen it. But it's been out by the time this airs, this will have been out long enough.
2 weeks.
But if you're thinking about going to see it, I'm glad you're listening to this. But again, there's going to be a point where you need to click stop because I don't want to spoil anything for you. And there's a handful of people out there that don't mind spoilers. And
right.
If that's what you're into, that's fine too. I'm just going to give you fair warning before we proceed into the spoilery stuff. That's about all I have for announcements, unless there's something I forgot, which we'll do later.
I can't think of anything right now.
Well, check out this ad from our sponsors. And then we're going to come back and start talking about the Justice League. Shadow Stalkers Paranormal is a nonprofit organization, a level-headed team with a knowledgeable background who tries to explain and debunk, not taking things solely as paranormal.
They try to help their clients with an understanding about the paranormal.
Shadow Stalkers Paranormal also gives back to the community by way of sponsorships, such as this one, fundraisers for historical sites and individuals with terminal illnesses.
They strive to make their team better and make a difference.
You can find them on Facebook, facebook.com/ShadowStalkersParanormal38821. They're ready to believe you. All right, it's time for some Justice for the League.
Justice for the League. You got to come up with some theme music for that.
Maybe the Justice League music?
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled.
Which, that's a good place to start.
Superman!
Something that's non-spoilery is that I am going to buy the soundtrack to this movie.
And
I actually looked for it at Walmart the other day. I was surprised they didn't have it.
And I'm going to rip it from you.
Well, that's illegal, but thanks for... The FDA is on the line right now, and they're not
sorry,
happy.
Oh, sorry, I meant rip it. Or I meant my shorts.
That's not the FDA. That'd be the Food and Drug Administration.
You're going to come take my guns.
I don't know who the National Piracy League is on the line. When you said that, you were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The music was amazing because they gave us new stuff, but they also teased us with some of the old stuff, too.
Amazing.
It was really, really good. That was... I'm going to own that. One thing I noticed right off the bat is the filmography of this movie. And I don't know if I made that word up, but what I'm trying to say is, like, they fixed some of the issues that I haven't really liked about the way the quality of the film looked. Like, I think there was lighting issues in Batman v Superman. Like, everything looked dark.
Yeah, well, I think they did that on purpose, though.
Well,
to make
yeah,
that
I mean,
more of that,
when I say the movie was
Returns.
When I say the movie was dark, I don't mean literally. I mean, well, I do mean literally. It was like if you film something at night, of course it's supposed to be dark. But like the whole thing just seemed like you needed to turn the brightness up on it. I can't. I'm not a filmmaker, so I can't describe to you exactly what I mean. But it looked good. It looked more real, if that makes any sense. I know we're talking about
right.
something that's 100% fiction, but it just looked more organic. It looked better. The quality looked good. And I was really worried about Cyborg, speaking of quality, because in the posters and in the previews, everything that I saw online about Cyborg, the CGI on him looked horrible.
Yeah.
But actually, for some reason, didn't look that bad in the theater.
It didn't. I didn't have a problem.
I thought he looked great.
Yeah.
I was really surprised. I was like, whoa. Maybe it's just that. I mean, we didn't watch it in 3D.
No.
I guess it was just a regular theater screen.
Right.
It wasn't like IMAX or anything like that, was it?
No. We just watched it regular.
I really hope and pray that, which you shouldn't do this anyway, I hope you're not watching like a bootlegged version of this or something that like some shady person like let you download or downloaded for you and let you borrow, because you're gonna miss out. Really, like, seriously, you need to go see this in a theater.
The sound quality was freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, that was everything just looked crisp.
Yeah, and sounded
great. That's what I'm looking for, is everything, even the CGI, except for one thing that we'll talk about here
yeah,
in a second.
Yeah,
the CGI was good in this movie. Again, Cyborg did not look as bad.
Pretty much everything, just it popped. It just,
I'm really trying to avoid ripping on Transformers here, but it...
Go ahead, I mean, this was not a Michael Bay film, so Michael Bay will not be on the line.
It looked way better than Optimus Prime's lips
and
or
eyebrows.
Eyelashes and eyebrows. there was one thing, and I'll go ahead and say it, since we're talking about the CGI. I thought Steppenwolf was a great character, and that's not a spoiler. He was in the previews. Steppenwolf looked cool. I really like his voice. But his face was stupid. He has a stupid face.
Dude.
Hashwolf Steppenwolf Butterface.
Hashwolf.
Steppenwolf Butterface. You remember Hashwolf, me texting
Steppenwolf Butterface.
You know what's funny? We actually got separated at the theater.
You sat by yourself.
And I sat by myself, but I'm not complaining because...
And I had to move down.
You know, no offense to you guys or anything, but I kind of enjoy just being in my own little world to take it all in.
Oh,
but I did
too.
Text you a couple of times, and I think I texted you hashtag Steppenwolf Butterface.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was that one, and then you text me one other one
like
that
his,
we'll get to in a minute.
His face just looks so dumb. Well, the other thing that I didn't like about it, and that my complaints are not that big a deal.
I have one complaint about the whole
thing. The other
movie.
Complaint I can't... I have to save to the spoiler part, because it's spoilery.
All right, my only complaint about the whole movie was that Steppenwolf was strictly a CGI character. But in all respect to Zack Snyder and, you know, Joss Whedon, he kind of had to be, because this dude was freaking humongous. He was tall.
You know, but I think they should have tried to at least have a... I mean, they've done this in movies for like years and years, where you just have a guy in a mask, and then you can add the CGI with it. But
yeah.
Like, it would look more realistic to have like a prosthetic, like like have the appliances on your face, the prosthetics or whatever
it
is.
You know, the sad thing is
like put the makeup on his on a real person's face and film the face shots. But then if you want the rest of his body and his armor and all that, because you know it kind of like has a glow and shit. Like they're gonna polish it up with the After Effects.
The sad thing
but
is...
But you don't have to do strictly a whole character that's 100% CGI.
The sad thing is the guy that was... his face... They used motion capture for his face, and they tried to make the guy that did the voice of him take his face and kind of blend it with it.
Yeah.
But
they should have just put the guy in a mask or makeup, excuse me, and put...
Just made him taller. CGI'd him some height.
Well, I mean, even if you wanted to do his body CGI, at least the face, like when it come, you know, when they do a close shot when he's talking and blinking,
and
it just looks dumb. But that's not a big deal. Like it, like I said, my two complaints about this movie are very nitpicky. Like it's not that big of a deal. It wasn't a deal breaker,
right?
Because there's so many things that were so great about this that just made me so happy,
right?
This movie makes you happy. Are you sad? Go watch the Justice League.
Yeah.
You will not be sad.
You will not be sad. You know, I hear everybody talk about the biggest complaint that people have is the runtime for it. It's an hour and 59 minutes long. I did really good. I didn't have to get up and go to the bathroom the whole time we were there. We were watching it. If it had been a whole lot longer, I probably would have, though, and then... There again, like we said before, you can't pause it. You miss something.
Yeah.
So, I don't have a problem with that because of the fact that when it goes to DVD, you're going to get an uncut version or maybe even hopefully a director's cut version of it where there's just all the extra bells and whistles with it. So, the runtime is not a big deal to me.
No, I actually enjoyed the pacing of this film. It wasn't rushed. Which surprised the crap out of me because you got so much going on.
Yeah, big story.
I thought it would feel rushed, but it really didn't. Like, it had a lot of breathing room. It wasn't just action, 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 action all the time. I mean, when there was action, I mean, it was some serious action. But I thought the pacing was good, but I really, as a fan, look forward to the extended release, which I'm assuming surely they're going to have. Because
I hope so.
Because from what I've heard, there's a whole... Well, there's a whole Zack Snyder cut of the movie. Before they started doing reshoots with Whedon, and I don't think they'll release the Zack Snyder version, but I think they'll release.
I like that to be in the deleted scenes.
They'll put a lot of deleted scenes in there because, like I've said before, and I think I've said it on here, the Ultimate Edition of Batman v Superman is way better than
it's
the original.
Way longer
because it explains some things that might not have made sense. Like, there's some people I've heard talking crap about Batman v Superman, and some of their complaints were resolved in the extended edition.
Yeah.
But they had to cut stuff because it was so long.
Another thing that people complained about, like the critics or the YouTube critics even, you know, the keyboard warriors, I guess you'd call them, that they complained about the movie was that it jumped around too much. I didn't think it did at all. I thought it had, like you said, a good pace. It had a good story plot behind it and everything. And there was no here and there. But at the same time...
They didn't waste a lot of time.
Right. It was a fast-paced kind of movie, but it was done superbly, in my opinion, because...
And this is something I'll tiptoe around when I say. I'll get into this more in the spoiler part. I'm glad they didn't just waste a ton of time. They didn't leave you hanging if you're not familiar with some of these characters, but they didn't just waste a whole bunch of time on backstories because that's what standalone films are for.
Well, and
they gave you enough to know enough about the character for it to make sense and not just go, who the crap is this guy and where is he from? Of course, as comic book fans already know, but for your casual, everyday person, it didn't leave you... It gave you enough to... that you needed for this movie.
But technically, they gave you a little bit of heads up and a little bit of backstory in Batman vs. Superman.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you've had 2 years to
do
your homework.
Even with Flash and Cyborg.
And Aquaman.
And Aquaman, you had those little...
You had those teaser clips.
Yeah, those little clips that they decrypted and watched. So... you know, I thought they worked that in. I was concerned about that. I was like, how are you going to take all these characters and you're introducing ones that haven't been on the big screen yet? And then you've got people that aren't like us that don't know who, maybe not know who Aquaman is, but not know anything about his origin. How are you going to explain all that and catch him up to where you need to be in the movie? And they did that very well.
Very well.
Home run on that.
Speaking of which, not a spoiler, because, I mean, this has actually been, there's no set date, I don't think, yet, but they're shooting for around this time next year. But the next movie that they're doing is Aquaman. And I'm excited about that because he was a badass in this movie. He wasn't your typical, oh, well, I've got the same superpowers as SpongeBob kind of character. He was a badass. And Jason Momoa pulled it off fantastically.
He did. Of course, I mean, you could tell by the previews that he's a beast.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He made Aquaman cool again.
Yep.
And there's a little bit of complaint from, like, the hardcore Aquaman fans that they might have strayed too much from the source material.
All three of them.
Mostly because, I guess, of his look or whatever. But for me, I wasn't a big hardcore Aquaman fan. I didn't hate him. I just didn't.
Dude.
I could take him or leave him. But now I'm a fan of him.
I've seen Aquaman in the Justice League.
So I think they did what they needed to do with him.
I've seen Aquaman in the Justice League stuff later on where his hair is long. Of course, yeah, it's just like still blonde, but it's long. He's got the bushy beard. He's got the freaking hook hand, which he doesn't have in this movie. But
hook hand?
Yeah, he got his hand cut off.
Spoiler alert, I didn't know that.
That was in the comic books. Have you not?
I told you, I don't read Aquaman. I don't hate him.
No, this was
don't.
Justice League stuff, too.
I don't read.
He's appeared in Justice League.
Well, I mean, I do read Justice League, but I just don't know a lot about Aquaman.
Right.
I mean, I've got Justice League comic books that he's
like,
not even
like
in.
Like in the early 80s. In the early 80s and 90s, to me, Aquaman was basically a less kid-friendly version of SpongeBob.
Oh, man.
He really was.
I got the Aquaman people on the line, and they are not happy.
Well, all I got to say is, yeah. I'm sorry, Aquaman, SpongeBob people, but
well, you
Aquaman
kind
of sucked back in the day, but
You brought up the critics, so let's go ahead and go there. As always, I mean, other than Wonder Woman, the critics are always going to rip DC a new one. I don't know why. But I love how the fans revolted. Like, you've got a great divide on percentage-wise on the critics. Like, the critics will have it at, like, 38, 39%, but the fan vote will be at, like, 89, 90%.
Yeah. Do you have Rotten Tomatoes pulled up at all?
That's the main site I'm referencing. It had gotten down to, like, 38% on Rotten Tomatoes, and then the users were, like, holding steady at like 89, 90%.
I just wonder what opening.
So that tells me right there, when you have that great a divide between the critic rating and the user rating, that the critics are
wrong.
It's a conspiracy, man.
Yeah, the critics. I'm
I'll
honestly,
just go ahead and say it.
I'm sticking to my guns, and I think that the critics are pulling for Marvel more than they are for DC.
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Like, I wish you had it pulled up where we could see what opening weekend made.
Well, they've already gotten, as of Friday...
We were part of opening weekend.
As of Friday, it's topped the $400 million mark.
Holy... Is that worldwide or just U.S. only?
I suppose that's worldwide, but that's just... I mean, we're still in the theaters right now, so... I mean, Avengers did like $1 billion, but we're almost halfway there, and we didn't even started talking about pay-per-view DVD and all that stuff,
yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
So...
That is a movie right there that...
There's no way the fans, all the fans love it. It's selling like it should sell. It's not a flop, you know, financially.
Right.
The only thing that it's getting harsh feedback push from is the critics. So that tells me right there with that information, the critics are full of baloney.
Yeah. And you know,
they obviously don't have their finger on the pulse of what people like.
Zack Snyder,
I don't know what
the
real is.
Zack Snyder had his family issue. People blew up about that. Oh, well, Joss Whedon's going to come in from Marvel and change the whole thing around. He did less than a third of the final directing of the movie. And he didn't hurt it at all. The critics are just trying to find any little thing they can to nitpick about. And maybe it's not just the critics. Maybe it's Marvel fans. I mean, I'm sure there's some of you out there that are listening that are more Marvel fans than DC fans. Me and Mark are more DC fans, DC-driven, than we are Marvel-driven. And there's nothing wrong with that. I absolutely love all the X-Men movies, the, you know, Avengers movies and all that, but there's just something about it when it comes to holding that actual comic book. I just prefer the story plot to DC better than I do Marvel.
And again, I've said this on here before and I'll say it again. You can't say that because I'm a Batman guy that I'm going to love everything that's got Batman in it.
No,
because
that's
true. There's a lot of Batman stuff that I hate that, yep, I will tell you in a heartbeat that sucked.
I'm kind of the same way with Superman stuff.
This didn't. It did not suck at all. And you know what? I'll say one more thing about something that I was nervous about that they did beautifully. You don't feel robbed. If you're a fan of a particular character that's in the Justice League, it's not like they balanced it well. Like, this wasn't just a Justice League movie. This was a Wonder Woman movie. This was an Aquaman movie. This was a Batman movie. This was a Cyborg movie. You know, and it was all together.
Yeah, you know, honestly, one of my favorite characters in this movie was the Flash, because Ezra Miller brought that comical side, that humorous, you know, just being sarcastic kind of side to that character, more so than you see on the Flash TV show. He's more of the comic book style character. And I really appreciated them doing that in it, because I'm a big Flash fan too.
One other thing I wanted to make sure to tell people, if you haven't seen it yet, and I got to give a big shout out to Robbie Ross for giving us the heads up on this.
Yes.
Stay to the end. And I don't mean stay to the end of the movie. Stay till they start sweeping up popcorn.
Yeah. The end of the end.
The end
credits.
Of the end. That's all I'm going to say is don't get out of your seat.
You know what I'm going to say to top that? You're welcome.
Yeah, you came down there as I was leaving, because, again, we got separated.
I was yelling at you.
You were like, hey.
Because
I was leaving.
Yeah.
And you were like, no, wait. Rob told me that there's something else.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And we hung out, and I was so glad I stayed. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
The in-credit stuff is
good. Because I was like, maybe I just misunderstood him, because I was kind of half inebriated.
You ever see some in credit stuff that was kind of like WTF kind of,
yes,
stuff? This isn't.
That
this is like, oh man, this,
yes,
this is good.
Yes.
So we're gonna leave the spoiler free, unless you have something else.
I don't write this minute.
We're gonna leave the spoiler free stuff at that. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back from the break, you've been warned. Everything we talk about is very, very spoilery. It's like Walter White dies in Breaking Bad kind of spoilery.
Wait, what?
Dude, that show's been out for 20 years.
I know, I'm kidding.
That show's been out for...
I've seen it, I love it.
5 years?
How long is this? He calls The Walking Dead. That's the theory going around.
Yeah. We've talked about that on here before, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
All right, so you need to go, if you haven't watched the Justice League, for one, you need to stop listening to this show right now, and then come back and listen to it, the rest of it later. For two, you need to get your butt in the theater and go watch it. I promise you, you won't be sorry.
I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah, I've got plans to go watch it again as well. And one more thing that I'll add to that just popped in my head is the people were wondering about the humor, because people bitched about Batman v Superman being so serious. There was humor in this, and it didn't feel forced, and it was perfectly placed, and it was perfectly timed. Was placed and timed the same thing? I don't think so.
No.
It didn't feel forced. Like, it didn't feel like they went, oh, well, they told us to be a little more funny, so we're going to be a little more funny.
Right.
It felt like that's how it should be.
Yeah.
So there was definitely a lot of, like, where laughter erupted across the whole theater.
Absolutely.
But it didn't seem cheesy.
So when we come back, spoilers.
I wanted to take a quick minute to tell everyone where they can find Kill Pop Culture online and what we call the list.
You just made the list!
Thank you, Chris Jericho. We're on Facebook.com/KillPopCulturePodcast. Our Twitter is @KillPopC. You can open your Instagram app and search for Kill Pop Culture. We're on there as well. Our Podomatic website is killpopculture.podomatic.com. You can download the Podomatic app. We're on iTunes. Please subscribe. We're on Google Play. You have to go to Google Play Music and then search for Kill Pop Culture. We're on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Player.fm, SoundCloud.com/KillPopCulture. To find our YouTube channel, just go to YouTube and search for Kill Pop Culture.
You just made the list!
Go to AdvertiseCast.com to find out how you, yes you, can be a part of Kill Pop Culture by way of advertisement. And last but not least, you can send us an email anytime at KillPopCulture69@gmail.com.
You just made the list!
Welcome back to the spoilery part of Justice for the League. And I'm really liking that title.
I do too. We've got to find the epic music to go with it, and we know what it's going
to
be.
I wanted to start out by saying I didn't know how much... I mean, we all knew Superman was going to be in this.
Yeah.
They didn't do a good job of hiding that, and I don't think they really tried, and that's fine. But I think it was just the right amount of Superman, and oh my God, was Superman a freaking beast in this?
Yes, he was. That was another message I got from you.
I said, is it weird that I really like evil Superman? He was such a badass when he was like a bad guy for a minute there.
Yeah.
But the reason I wanted to bring up Superman first is because that was the only other thing I had a complaint about. And it's not a big complaint because I understand why they did it and I agree with why they did it. But being such a comic book fan, I was a little disappointed by the fact that him being resurrected wasn't 100% Kryptonian technology like it was in the comics.
Right.
I wanted it to be in the Fortress of Solitude with his black and white suit with a bunch of hoses hooked up to him. The little robot guy, swirling all around him, helping him. And
good for you for knowing all this.
Well, I don't know the robot guy's name. He does have one. The little Kryptonian robot.
BB-8 is what we're calling it.
The little hovering BB-8 that helps Superman do things. That was such a big, long thing in the comic. Like, that went on for months, which is why they couldn't do that in this movie.
Right.
They didn't have enough time.
Right.
So they just said, well, we'll still use Kryptonian technology because it was from the ship. We know the ship can do this, but we're going to throw a mother box in there, too, to kind of speed things up, so to speak, to move things along. And I get it. I'm not that mad about it. It's just I really wanted to see the black and white suit. I wanted to see the super mullet. We know that when Kryptonians die, they don't actually die. They go into a coma, which
It's like a healing
process. I've coined the term cryptoma. You like that?
Cryptoma.
They go into a cryptoma, and they can be revived. But in this movie, they use the mother box to do all that.
And I like the evil spin they put on it, because when Superman came back, he didn't come back evil. He came back with his memory and everything. But like you said, the healing process was longer for him then. And
he was a little not all right for a minute there. I love the way Batman snapped him back into reality.
I love how he remembered Batman out of all.
No,
he didn't remember Wonder Woman, and she was like trying to call
the person
him
he hates
name.
The most, and the person he loves the most. Right. Batman and Lois Lane.
Right, exactly. And there were subtle hints in the movie, even though they didn't do the black and silver suit of. Like, you saw all the banners hanging at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
They were black and silver banners.
So maybe that was like their nod to...
You know, it was like how people all the time, somebody dies and they put the black armband on.
Right.
That was kind of like their way of doing that.
Yeah.
But then, when he does come back, he does have the black slacks on. So maybe that's a little subtle nod to it too, but at the same time, And dude's freaking cut, so they need to show his body, I guess.
Show me your body.
I mean, I'm not gonna be that guy, but I kind of have a man crush on.
Oh, he looked great. I mean, there's no doubt about
it. Him and Ben Affleck both.
They really. I mean, yeah,
they bulked up
did.
For it.
But let me ask you a question, because I don't know. It could go either
okay.
way.
Okay.
You remember Batman v Superman when Bruce Wayne woke up from his bad dream?
Yes.
About Superman ripping his makeup off, along with his mask.
Yes, I do remember that.
When he woke up, you know, he had that thing where the Flash came in and said, "Lois Lane is the key."
Yeah.
Is that where he got the information to use Lois Lane to bring Superman back in? Or
I do believe that.
Or is that something else that's going to be used later?
I do believe that, but the reason I believe that is because, like we've talked about one time before, which is just a spoiler for Batman vs. Superman, if you haven't seen it.
If you haven't seen Batman v. Superman, I mean, we gave you spoiler warnings about this, Justice League, so
this clip
that's just implied.
This clip that he's talking about, when Bruce Wayne wakes up, papers are flying all over the place. Was that really a dream? Or did Flash really make some...
Did he make something happen? Yeah.
To answer your question, I think part of that is going to get told in the Flashpoint, or the Flashpoint Paradox movie that they're going to come out with. I think it might actually go back and talk about that a little bit. But could... You know, I mean, the version that we got in Batman vs. Superman, when you do get that little spoiler of the Flash, he's like got the evening shadow kind of look to him. And through this whole movie, he was really brand new. So, but I do think that he was a big key player in helping Batman figure out that the big gun was Lois Lane.
Probably the biggest, or one of the biggest, holy crap moments in the entire movie was Superman, because it started out, he was like, not all right, as Aquaman said.
Yeah. No, he was Pet Sematary.
And
he
was trying to go Pet Sematary, as Flash said. And I almost said Robocop.
Wonder Woman,
Cyborg. His body armor started reacting in a defense way.
It felt threatened.
So they start fighting, and as they all lunge towards Superman, you know, Superman in one hand has Wonder Woman, and the other end he has Cyborg and Aquaman, or
right.
I may have that, but he's got them all held back at
right.
bay, and then the Flash starts doing his thing. He's like, well, I'm going to come around behind Superman and try to, you know, help subdue him.
Because I'm the fastest man alive.
Yeah, and he starts, and, you know, when it shows this, him doing, when he's in the Speed Force, it always shows it in slow motion.
Yeah.
So he's running around Superman, and then all of a sudden,
Superman's
eye starts following him, and you're like, whoa. And then the Flash is like, holy shit.
Yeah, he's like, he can see me?
It's like, how, and then he starts turning his head, and you're like, oh my God, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
And then you realize that Superman is almost as fast as he is.
Technically, I think at this point, Superman is as fast as he is, because...
Well, I thought that too.
Well, here's why.
He's swinging at him, and the Flash is like clumsily, like barely getting out of the way.
That's what
his
I was
swings
say.
Are a little slower, slow enough for Barry to get out of the way.
Yeah, but I think part of that might be just Barry's just clumsy. But then again,
but Superman was still a little slow motion, like those weren't real time punches.
Right. But
and that's how he was able to get out of the way.
Another spoiler, which this is a Flash Superman spoiler, so I mean it kind of goes along with it, but you've got to watch.
You don't have to say spoiler in this segment.
You got to watch the end credits of the movie, because the first end credit of the movie, it's the classic. There was three different times that it happened that Superman and Flash raced.
Starting in the 60s.
Yes.
It's hard to get on eBay right now. I tried to buy one, but the bid got up above $50. And you know how frugal I am with comics.
Yes.
But,
I think
the first time the Flash and Superman raced, they actually raced around the world, not coast to coast.
Yes, they did. And they did it for a
fundraiser. You know, Flash
can run. Fundraiser.
Flash can run on water.
Yes.
And Superman can obviously fly or whatever, so... Yeah, they raced for charity.
And I think originally he did fly racing him.
I'm so glad they put that in there, because that's such a cool nod to the comics. That's such a big part of Flash and Superman's history.
But here's the thing that, because with me in this movie, the take that I get on it is, okay, well, Barry is still really new to this. Because if you watch, like, the trailers, like the deleted scene you didn't see in the movie was where in the trailer he pushes his finger through the glass. Maybe that was a point where he was learning about his powers and his speed force.
Yeah, they left a lot of room for these standalone movies for each of these characters, which I think is fine if you're going to do it that way. I think it was better done by Marvel, and this is, I know, I'm giving Marvel credit. I wish they'd have done all the standalones first.
Yes.
And then brought the Justice League together, but since they didn't, they left a lot of good meat and potatoes for those movies to tell Barry Allen's backstory, delve into the whole him trying to prove his dad's innocence and get him out of prison and
see Justice League
and explaining
leads up
more
to,
about the Speed Force.
Justice League leads up to helping with all that, though. That's why I feel like the Justice League, the way they did
it. Yeah, they're doing it. They're doing it kind of backwards the way the Avengers did, but they did it.
But it's a twist to the story.
They did it
in
a good way in Justice League, to where there's going to be some good room for a lot of good standalone movies.
There's your diehard comic fans. Who, like me, I'm a big Superman fan. You're a big Batman fan. Yeah, there's these diehard comic fans that's like, oh, well, that didn't happen that way by the book. Well, so what? It was Hollywood's take on it. Let them have it, because I can see kind of where they're going with this. Because if you watch the Flash TV series, which you and me both watch it, who was pushing Barry to become faster? This is a different spin on it. Maybe Superman instead of Eobard Thawne on the Flash TV series. Maybe Superman is the reason why Barry wants to become faster and experience that whole new level of Flashpoint, which could lead up to that whole Flashpoint paradox thing.
Another big holy crap moment in the movie involved Superman as well, since we're still on him, there was a lot going on, so you almost kind of like forgot about Superman for a minute, because you had your attention was focused on this big battle with Steppenwolf, and then all of a sudden, like the big reveal when Superman comes and you know, literally saves the day.
And Batman.
And I forget what he said. Like Steppenwolf said something to the effect of, "You don't even understand the truth," and he's like, "I'm a big fan of truth, and also like justice." And then you turn around and there's Superman. You're like, "Holy crap! Yep. I forgot about Superman."
And then he just like super punches him. And
and I like how this Superman wasn't quite as serious as the Man of Steel and the Batman v Superman, because he said stuff that to me reminded me more of Superman from the comics.
Right.
Like when he came back from rescuing those people, and they're still fighting Steppenwolf, and he's like, "Is this guy still bothering y'all?"
Yeah.
And then he jumps back in and beats the crap out of Steppenwolf.
You know, one of my favorite scenes with Superman in this whole movie, which there's two of them, because one of them's comical to me because of the way that my mind works. Because you remember me telling you the other day, he had been filming for the Mission Impossible movie, so he had a mustache, so they had to CGI the mustache out the whole time.
Not the whole time, just during the reshoots.
All right, well, yeah, during the reshoots. But
which
then,
was a lot of the movie from what I understand.
But then, who's to say when Martha comes up?
Martha had a mustache too? That's weird.
But no, when Martha comes up, she's like, "Is it really you?" And we made a joke about
almost.
This. It's almost under this mustache. Yes, it's me. But no,
Clark, you're back, but I must ask you a question.
One of my favorite scenes that a lot of people probably missed out on is when Clark is hugging Lois there in the cornfield, and he just smiles and goes, "You called Mom."
He could hear her.
Yeah, he could hear her truck coming from miles away.
Yeah.
And then my other favorite moment with him is...
I know what it's going to be.
What's that?
You're going to say something about the freeze breath.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, I'm not.
Because you were really happy about that.
I was really happy that he used that.
They really exploited like all the badassery of Superman in
this.
Yes,
they did.
So I'm sure if you're a Superman guy, as you are, you're totally...
But I was geeking out. But my favorite Superman scene, other than evil Superman, in the whole movie, had to have been when Cyborg calls him to come help separate the mother boxes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, "Is there going to be any, like, fallback to this?" And he's like,
"Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I think we can handle it.
I think we'll live."
And he goes, "Well, good, because I kind of enjoy living." Because he's just been brought back to life. And
right.
And Cyborg says, "I do too." Well, then when it happens and they blow up, you know, you get that Batman scene of like, Clark. And then you see the pans over to the scene of Superman and he goes, I take it back. I want to die. That was so freaking funny to me because Wonder Woman at the end of it goes, I work with children.
Oh, yeah, the humor there was great.
It was freaking phenomenal, dude. I mean, they had the perfect mix. Like, the problem I have with Marvel movies, and not knocking Marvel movies, but they're more comical than they are comic book related. And I'm probably going to get crucified for saying that, but
no, I mean, I stand by that. I love the Avengers movie, but they really tried to go for to the masses. And yeah. And they did a great balance of, it's hard to appease the masses of casual fans and the hardcore comic fans.
Tony Stark did a good job of it.
I will say that DC actually, it normally leans more towards us. But on this one, and when I say us, I mean the comic book nerds.
Yeah.
On this one, I say they did as good as a job as the Avengers. I like this movie better than the first Avengers.
I honestly like this movie better than
the
Avengers.
You can factor in my bias if you want to.
I've seen it more than once now.
I thought this movie was better than Batman v Superman, which I loved.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was better than Man of Steel. I thought it was better than Wonder Woman, and I really liked the Wonder Woman movie. But, and that's probably a good segue to Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Man,
that's what I was going to say, how to lead up to all these movies.
Wonder Woman was awesome in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Not only her, but the Amazon women.
Oh, yeah.
That fight sequence between Steppenwolf and all the Amazon women, they had some good fight scenes in the Wonder Woman movie, but whoever choreographed these, I'm sorry, it was better.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Man, they looked like such badasses.
I'm kind of wondering if there wasn't a Joss Whedon reshoot during the one scene at the beginning of the movie where if you look at the trailer when they're going, I don't know if it's a bank or whatever building they're going into where the hostages are being held, you know, and she's like being super badass Wonder Woman, but actually at the beginning of the trailer when you see that, the bomb blows up and part of the building blows up. Because you see the cops outside and everything.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that's a Joss Whedon reshoot to make it more... let's not make it so dark right here at the beginning of the movie kind of thing. Like where people
start killing everybody.
Don't start killing people right now.
Yeah, and you're right. Like there was like zero casualties in this movie. Like even when they fought Steppenwolf, did you notice they fought him like way out? Instead of being in Gotham City or in Metropolis...
Right.
It was way in a rural
area,
and there was that one family that Superman and Barry saved.
Yeah, well, that was the building of people.
that was another funny Superman moment.
Yeah, that Superman and Barry saved. We can talk about that in the Barry segment when we get to it. But,
yeah. That was
Wonder
really cool.
Woman overall was... She was a crowd pleaser to me because there was a time period where her and Bruce were talking about leading the team. And, you know, they kind of get into it about it. But he was like, you know, we need Superman. Superman needs to lead the team. Which Superman doesn't lead the team, technically. He's just kind of a voice behind it. But
there was that moment you're talking about. I was sitting here going, like, are they just going to like go ahead and make out or what?
Right.
I just get it over with.
But then at one point, you know, when Batman is going in, she has to make the call. Like, when they're going in getting ready to fight Steppenwolf, and he goes into the big...
And then Batman goes on his little suicide mission.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman's like, no, we're going to go save Batman.
Yeah. So, that was her making the call. That was actually really well done.
It almost made it look like, okay, you know, as in the comics, you know, Batman's pretty much the leader of the Justice League, but in the movie, it's like Batman's the leader, he's the brains,
right?
All you are the brawn and everything else. But Wonder Woman's almost like... If Batman's not around, she's in charge.
Okay, I don't know if you read any of the I don't know if it's a Justice League Trinity or a Batman Trinity. The Trinity comics, where it's Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman.
I own some of them, but I haven't read them.
I haven't read mine yet either.
The only Justice League title I read is like the main JLA America, and then the main Justice League
title. But I kind of feel like they went with
that. And I don't
read
them religiously.
That was the Trinity right there. It was the three superpowers that were bringing these rookies in, because they were the three in Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, I mean, this is the beginning of Barry Allen's story.
Yes.
And this is the beginning of Cyborg's story. But Batman's been around for 20 years at this point. They make that clear.
Yeah.
This ain't Superman's first rodeo, and Wonder Woman's been around for, you know,
ages.
She was dormant for 100 years, so.
Yeah.
There was all the Wonder Woman movie stuff before that, and then now, so yeah.
And she even brings up
Steve Rogers.
You're right,
like, they're the three experienced, like.
Or not Steve Rogers. What's his name, Steve?
Her boyfriend in the movie.
Damn it.
Captain Kirk.
Yeah,
that's his name. That's his actual name.
Yeah, Captain Kirk. Yeah.
Did you know in real life, this is no joke, I saw him in an interview, he carries a flip phone?
I'm not surprised by that, because it looks like one of those comms that they use in the Star Trek. Oh, you're looking up something.
Well, I think it would be rude if I didn't say his name.
It's not Steve Rogers. I keep wanting to say Steve Rogers. Chris Pine's his name. But what was his name in that movie? Steve.
I'm just fine with knowing Chris. Yeah, Chris Pine. He carries a flip phone. He doesn't have like a smartphone. He's like an old.
Steve Trevor.
Steve Trevor, is that it?
That's his name in the Wonder Woman movie. Yeah. She makes reference to him in the Wonder Woman.
Well, Batman made reference to him, and that made Wonder Woman. He was trying to provoke
her.
Yeah,
she, like, punched him dead in the chest for that shit.
How
he survived that, I guess it's because she held back.
Well, don't forget, because, you know, some people were saying, like, when Superman threw him against the car and all that stuff, and then tossed him, he's got compression stuff in his suit.
Oh, yeah, we saw that.
His suit has inside of it stuff that absorbs. That's how, like, Batman can fall off of a roof and land on, like, three floors down, can hit, like, a fire escape and not break his back. It's because he has all the stuff built into his suit.
I'm sure you noticed this in the movie. When Batman takes off the one shirt, he's got the Under Armour version, is what I call it, where it's got the shirt with the armor actually on it.
Yeah, and I'm glad they showed that scene where he strips like the outer layer of the batsuit off, because it kind of shows
the man behind it.
That Ben Affleck, like everyone else, I don't think he's got any. If he does have some, it's not much. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's like no padding inside this Batman suit.
Oh, there's. If there is, it's very little.
Maybe it's like some accent stuff, but it's not like, you know.
You need to watch his workout video that they show on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, there was a workout sequence in Batman v Superman where
this dude is freaking huge.
How bulked up he was.
Okay, back to Wonder Woman. Like you said, with them bringing the whole Amazon women into the mix and everything, I thought that was real cool because, like, prior to that scene, you see her, like, being ultimate badass. But then, when she's at work, she's, like, dusting off a statue. And it's like, what'd you do this weekend? Not much.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you always say that. Well, I'm just not really an interesting person. I kind of like how she does that.
Yeah,
she just plays it off. She's
again,
not trying
this
to
was
beat.
This was like a Wonder Woman movie. And it was a Batman movie, and it was a Flash movie, and like it's
yeah, exactly.
Like you didn't, if all you care about is Wonder Woman, you would not be disappointed in this movie. If all you care about Superman, you would not be disappointed. It's like they figured out a way to appease,
to blend it all
the,
in
the people that just like one person.
Yes, to blend it all in.
And I guess
if you didn't like it and you've seen it and you didn't like it for that reason, shame on you, because it was very well done.
I guess we should move on to the Flash, Barry Allen. Okay. I'm really glad they didn't waste just a ton of time with his backstory, because, again, like I said before, that leaves plenty of room for his standalone movie. But they didn't leave out important information like the Speed Force, and it's important that. Like when Superman said, when Bruce Wayne said, well, you're fast, he's like, that's an oversimplification, because it really is. The Speed Force is a whole huge thing. And he mentioned it, And that gives them time to delve into it later.
Yeah. And you get to see...
You know he's not just fast. And he didn't just get hit by lightning.
Right.
There was more to it than that.
And you get to see the parts where he's at the jail, which is a good point to bring up for me, because you know how much of a Superman nerd I am. But when he's at the jail and he's going to see his dad, you know, they do mix that all in. But a little known fact for a lot of people that didn't catch it, but I caught it right off the bat. The guy, when he was signing in, you know, the guy behind him where he doodles on his face real quick.
Yeah.
But the guy, the cop, when he was signing in, told him to sign in, and then he made the comment to the guy behind about, you know, you look, are you trying to look witty or are those prescription? The guy that played that cop was actually the 1978 and, well, the whole Donner, Richard Donner and... You know, on past the Christopher Reeves, Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah.
In that movie. And he actually had one other scene that you see in the trailers that got cut from the movie. And that's when Cyborg comes in and he saves a cop and he's like, you might want to stand back in the trailers. That was that part there. But they managed to blend in another cameo for the movie. But... What you're talking about was like the backstory and everything. They do enough where he knows, he talks about the Speed Force, but he talks about, or he knows, or you see him and his dad. But then Alfred is the one who tells Bruce the basic backstory. And it's perfect just the way it was. It's just enough backstory to refamiliarize you with it. I mean, which, I mean, everybody knows it. Everybody that's anybody, anyway. But you know it, and you kind of respect that. And the thing for me was, like, when Alfred was telling the backstory to Flash, when he gets to the part of Barry's dad going to jail for murdering his mom, Bruce just goes, damn. Like, yeah, this dude's got issues. We're going to have to work hard with him.
Well, almost every one of the superheroes are born of tragedy, and that's why I think there was such a great moment between the Flash and Cyborg when they're essentially grave robbing. They're grave robbing Superman's body so they can bring him back. And I guess the first thing I thought is, like, man, Barry Allen's super fast. You know, he could dig this grave in 3 seconds by himself, but he said he felt like it would be disrespectful. And, you know, they start talking about each other, and he said, you know, there was an accident that made me, and there was an explosion that made
shot.
Me.
Yeah,
and he's like, man. So we're the accidents.
Yeah.
And that kind of, like, really personalized those two characters, which was good because to a lot of people, those are new characters. To me and you, they're not. And to a lot of our listeners, they're not. But there's a lot of people that will be watching this movie that doesn't know that much about those two. So it really humanizes them and makes them relatable because we all have, you know, our stuff.
Right. And that's another humorous point in the movie that I just had to laugh out loud about in the theater was when Flash wants to do the fist bump while they're digging up Superman's body, and Cyborg just looks at him and goes, oh, well, we're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
Yeah.
But did you notice at the end,
he finally
fist bumped him?
Yeah, and Flash has got this whole, holy shit, I'm fist bumping somebody, you know, look on his face. It was so great.
One thing that surprises me that I'm trying to figure out is the separation in the timeline between the Flash and Batman. What I mean by that is we're at the very beginning of the Flash's story here.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like we're not at the end, but we're at the very, like, advanced.
Yeah, the more mature Flash, yeah.
No, we're at the beginning of Flash's story, but with Batman, we're at the almost, not retirement age, but, you know, they keep making comments about he's been doing this for 20 years, like, and Wonder Woman's like, how long you think you can't do this forever? He's like, I can barely do it now.
Right.
And, like, there's so many comments about how long he's been doing this, but in the comics, it's more, there's less of a time gap there.
Right.
It's not like the Flash is just coming in towards the end of Batman's career.
Which I kind of like that, though.
I know they wanted a more mature, more experienced Batman,
The Frank Miller version.
But I'm not sure where they're going with that. I kind of feel like there's the Batman standalone movie is going to have a lot of prequel. It's going to time jump a lot. It's going to start out like, because there's a lot of stuff to explain, like why is why is Wayne Manor blown up?
I think they're picking that up from the Ra's al Ghul thing.
The armor, the Robin armor that had the spray paint on it that looked like it was from the Joker or whatever.
Right, right.
Or, you know, basically showing that Jason Todd had died. There's so much Batman stuff to be explored. You know, maybe that's why they separated the timelines out. Because in the comics, you don't have as much of a time gap
right.
between the characters.
Spoiler alert for you. Ben Affleck says the Batman is going to be his last movie, and they're trying to figure out a good way to segue it to a next Batman to keep this going and everything with the DC Universe the way it is now. So I'm not saying we might not see a Dick Grayson takeover.
I think what's going to happen, it's going to be something like this. They're going to recast Batman.
Right, yeah, I have a feeling.
And
that
the way they're going to make it work is it's going to be a younger Batman. It's going to be like, this is the young version of our Ben Affleck Batman.
And it
not like this is a new Batman you've never seen before that's never existed and here he is. It's going to be like, he's the Batman of our Batman when he was young.
And that makes sense to do it that way, because they could tell a lot more backstory in the stories, too, with what happened to Jason Todd's suit and, you know, all that.
Before we keep talking about Batman, I want to get to him, but let's finish up the Flash stuff, because
I kind of want to get
each character. I really liked the humor that Barry Allen had.
Yes. That's the comic book version. That's not the TV show.
Yeah, because usually this is how it works in the comic book. Like, Batman's the one that's, like, super serious. And actually, in the comic, Superman's pretty serious, too. And they're constantly getting on to the Flash and the Green Lantern for
being silly. Yeah, because they're
buddy-buddy. Yeah, and even Cyborg. Well, actually, Cyborg's pretty serious in the comics.
Yeah.
He was a little less in this, but I liked it.
But you see Cyborg more in the Justice League, in the Teen Titans. Than you
well, that's where he started, Teen Titans. And they said, hey, this is a good character, let's put him in Justice League.
Right.
Because in the original Justice League, you know, Martian Manhunter was in that. And
I wish they'd bring him out.
I think they will. I think he'll... Because they said there's room for more at the end.
Hashtag Zack Snyder, if you're listening to this, bring the Martian Manhunter to fruition.
Which, I'm actually glad, and no disrespect to Green Lantern, there was just enough stuff in this movie already. It's probably a good thing they didn't bring Green Lantern in, but I love the reference where they had a Green Lantern during that battle. I forget his name because I'm not a big Green Lantern fan, but he was one of the original Green Lanterns, and they... from way back, and they showed him in that ancient battle sequence.
Right.
So I really love the reference, but I'm glad that they're going to wait before they bring Green Lantern in, because there's so much movie to cover in that amount of time. It's probably best that they just saved that.
Okay, I may be right. I may be wrong. I mean, there's a 50-50 chance of this, but I kind of got really excited when you're talking about the Green Lantern scenes and stuff, where the early on fight scenes with Steppenwolf in the early days. The guy shooting the lightning out of his arms looks like a big caveman. That's Shazam. That's the early Shazam.
We talked about Aquaman a lot during the non-spoilery part. So I don't really have just a whole lot to add, because, again, I'm not an Aquaman expert, but I really, really liked Aquaman.
I did too.
I thought those scenes looked really cool. I like how funny he was. And serious he was, and how badass he was, but at the same time, like that scene where he was sitting on the lasso of truth.
Yes.
Like, he just started, like, just baring his soul to everybody. I was like, what is he doing? And then he realized he was sitting on the lasso of truth.
Yeah, because Bruce looks at him and goes, starts pointing at it.
And then there was another funny moment right at the same time where he told the Flash, he's like, if you say a word about this, you'll meet every piranha I know. He's like, I didn't hear anything past where I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of where Barry's at. Like, I know we've already talked about the Flash, but you know, he's early on in his thing, and he's like, I've never even really fought anybody. I just go fast and push people.
Yeah.
Like,
which, you know, to each their own on that, but again, like I said, this was probably by far the best portrayal they could have gotten for an Aquaman character. Jason Momoa owned that shit.
He really did, and I guess as far as backstory, they probably gave the least, or possibly the least amount of backstory with Aquaman, but they set it up really good where he's going to have a cool standalone movie that I'm definitely going to want to go see.
Right. And, you know, like in the comic books, Mira is his wife at in Atlantis. But the one time you see Mira in the movie, like, they just know each other. They're not even dating status yet.
They don't even really seem like friends.
Yeah, they don't even like each other. But I think it's going to build up for a whole great thing with Aquaman.
I wish Kal-El was here to talk about Cyborg, because he's a big Cyborg guy. I bought
yes,
him
he is.
Cyborg's first appearance for his Christmas present last year. Again, like I said before, I thought he looked way better on the big screen, CGI-wise, than he did in the previews and stuff. And I really like how he's still developing and figuring out his skills and what all the suit can do,
yeah,
or what all his body can do.
Yeah.
Because at the end, you know, it showed him changing and like the circle on
yeah.
his chest. It became a circle like in the comic book. I thought that was really cool.
You know, and I thought it was cool too where he was talking to his dad, Silas, when, you know, he's still hiding away and everything. And he's like, you know, I'm steadily upgrading. He goes, what do you mean? And before he can finish saying that, he like
started flying.
Boosts
yeah.
and starts flying. He goes, couldn't do that yesterday.
Yeah, and he's still learning as he goes, which again, that's going to be a great standalone movie. I liked how another effect that I thought was cool is in the comic books, you know, is it his right eye or depending on
left eye.
The eyes just glows red, but he had like a pupil in it. Like when he moved his eye, you could see.
Yeah,
it.
But he also had that like that God's eye part too, because it changed colors.
Yeah,
there was two lit up parts on his faceplate.
Thought Cyborg was a really great character. He was real strong in the movie, and you know, it's like they were gonna jump in that transport that Batman built to go fight Steppenwolf, and he's like, well, that's all the way in Russia. We can't get there. It's not fast enough. He's like, well, it'll be fast enough with me flying. And, like, with him flying the ship, he doesn't even have to be in the cockpit. Like,
right.
He was hanging out with him in the hangar, and, like, there was nobody flying it. Like,
yeah.
He was flying it, but, you know, he can like, just subconsciously fly it.
Yeah. And I like the...
And boost it and make it
I
faster.
I like the... which we talked about this on the way home from the movie that day. The little subtle nod they did to his character on the Teen Titans, you know, the cartoon. Because on the cartoon, he always goes, Booyah! Booyah!
Yeah, right.
And at the end of the movie,
he
beat Steppenwolf, he goes, Booyah! You know, that was awesome. Him and Aquaman ended up having a good scene together, too, where he's like, Fly's not over yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was really cool. He's like, My man!
Yep.
And even though the CGI wasn't, like, really that great on this scene, I still loved it nonetheless. When he, like, Aquaman surfed the parademon
yes.
down the building and then just stepped off of it and kept walking.
And not to change from any of that, not to digress in any way, but the only thing that I noticed different from the early on trailers of the movie to the later trailers and to what we saw in the movie, if you look at the early on trailers, there was, like, a weird... dark blue sky, but in the battle scene when all that's going on with Steppenwolf, it's a red sky, and I think that was kind of a nod to Apocalypse.
I'm actually glad that Darkseid wasn't in this movie, simply because I kind of thought at the very, very end of the movie you would see him do something, but we already know he's coming.
Oh yeah,
like we've already seen hints of it, and then, you know, Steppenwolf like came first. But I wonder, like, you know, we didn't actually see Steppenwolf die.
No, he just...
Do you think we'll see him again when Apocalypse comes? Do you think Apocalypse saved him? Because
well,
I know
Darkseid?
The... Yeah. Excuse me. Because there is a character called Apocalypse, but he's from the X-Men.
Yeah, but the planet is Apocalypse. That's right. Where they're from.
But you saw the parademons. They smelled the fear, and they jumped on Steppenwolf.
That's because his...
But then he transported away, so he didn't get killed on screen.
No.
There's a chance he's still alive.
Oh, he's very much alive.
You think we'll see him again?
Oh, yeah, I do.
You think he'll come when Darkseid comes?
Probably as punishment.
Probably maybe.
No, probably as punishment, because Darkseid will bring him back.
He's going to be in trouble, because this is the second time he was supposed to take Earth and fail both things.
And this will be like, Darkseid will show up
and Darkseid's going to be like, well, I got to do it myself.
Darkseid will bring him back and be like, this is how it's done, bitch.
Yeah, and then he'll get beat.
Yeah.
Because they'll have Martian Manhunter with them.
Then they'll both suck.
And Green Lantern and whoever else.
Martian Manhunter and Bob and Fred.
Bob and Fred, our next
Kevin
door neighbors. Kevin Smith will be there.
Kevin Smith will show up and kick everybody's ass.
As Silent Bob. Silent Bob is one of the Avengers. I mean, Justice League now.
He should be.
I'll try not to spend too much time on Batman, me being the Batman guy. I know. But the first thing I want to start out saying is I love this Batman's Alfred.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not this... Oh, Master Wayne, would you like a sandwich? I mean, he does butler him, but he's more like his companion than he is his
sidekick. He's his Robin at this point.
I mean, yeah, he's everything because, you know, he's the man behind the computer. I know you've seen Spider-Man Homecoming, and he's almost like the voice of reason with this Batman.
Yeah.
Because this Batman's just like, I just got to do what I got to do. And he's like, well, you might want to dial that back a little bit and do it this way, you know. And he's just not a frail, weak person. He's a strong character.
Yeah. And he had some witty moments, too.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's hilarious, because he's all the time taking jabs at Batman.
You know, it was funny, because he was talking about at one point, when they were trying to discuss how to get the team together and stuff, and he's like, well, you know, there's always Diana. He's like, well, I thought maybe you'd call her. And Ivor's like, well, what do you want me to do? Is like show up in Paris with a note saying, hey, will you be Bruce's sidekick? Check yes or no. That's just I like that Alfred.
I like the Alfred that takes jabs at him. That kind of messes with him.
Which
in
Batman versus Superman, Batman or Bruce was bringing Alfred coffee.
Yeah, like I said, he's less his butler now than his partner in crime, and I mean that literally.
Right,
because they are criminals.
Yes.
Batman's car, the Batmobile, was awesome in this. I know it's essentially the same Batmobile as in Batman v Superman, but you really got to see it in action, because Batman had to really do some like really good maneuvers.
This was a different one,
a little different, but it was the same type.
I feel like it was a Tim Burton mixed with a Christopher Nolan.
It was the same style as the Batman v Superman car, but it did a lot of cool stuff. Like the only really time it's shown in Batman v Superman is that scene where he's chasing the semi truck.
Yeah, he bumps into Superman.
Yeah, and then him and Superman have the scene in Batman v Superman. But in this movie, you see a lot more Batmobile action, which I thought was really good. And I like how, like in the Justice League comic books, well, in a Batman comic book, when he's in Gotham City fighting like the Riddler and Penguin, he's just using his batarangs and
his
grappling
tech.
Gun and his fists. But if you notice, even in the comic books, when Batman's fighting in the Justice League, he ups his game to level the playing field with all kinds of like cool cannons and guns and like literal guns.
Because he's the human of the bunch.
He's
not a meta. He's not a
right. Anything. He kind of helps level the playing field with his gadgets. And I thought Batman had some really, really cool gadgets in this. And again, if you're a fan of that, you should read the comics, because that's the difference between Batman and the Justice League and Batman and Gotham City, is that he really breaks out the cool toys for that.
I just got one question, though. What was his superpowers again?
He's rich.
Absolutely. I love that scene.
Like, just seeing the scenes at the beginning of the movie that started with Batman and Gotham City, I could have watched just A Day in the Life of Batman, a movie like that, because it was so cool just seeing him... He like used one of the criminals as
bait.
Yeah,
he's like, you're literally not trying to stop the guy. He's just using him for the fear.
Yeah, you can tell Batman's just kind of past the whole, oh, you're a criminal, whoop-de-doo, I'm trying to save the Earth. And I love the Gordon on this.
Yeah.
How he's kind of like...
J.K. Simmons was awesome.
He's like, okay, so there's more of you. Okay, well...
How many more of you are there? Yeah. Not enough.
Yeah. I thought I would have a lot more to say about Batman, but we've been talking about him all along.
I don't know, dude. The one thing about Batman in this movie that I actually loved was the fact that you got to see that bromance thing between him and Superman and Batman versus Superman. But when Superman comes back, like, you can tell he genuinely cares about Superman.
Because he takes responsibility. Of course, Batman takes responsibility for everything, but
right.
He almost takes responsibility for Superman's death.
Right,
he
but at the same time, he was like, you know, he had a job, he had a mom and dad, you know, he was trying to be human.
He basically. Said, in this movie, he said Superman was more human than I am.
Yeah.
And that was a big, epic statement, because if you think about it, Batman checked out when his parents got killed.
Yep.
He hasn't been a part of this world any more than he has to be.
No.
Superman's right the opposite. He came into the game as otherworldly, literally.
Lost his parents.
And made a family here and got a job and worked.
As a normal, everyday Joe.
Yeah. And Batman's never... I mean, he does a lot of stuff for the Wayne Enterprises,
right.
But I mean, he's a billionaire, you know? Not a millionaire, a billionaire.
I love how they use, like, a little bit of comedy with the Batman character, just enough to, you know, put the cherry on top. It's like when him and Superman are talking right after he comes back, right after Superman comes back, and he goes, well, I know you didn't bring me back because you liked me. And he goes, well, I don't not like you.
Yeah, there's not a more complicated relationship in comics more than Batman and Superman.
That's the epic bromance right there.
It's this whole... It's weird.
Yeah.
But at the core of it all, and they really brought that together well in Batman v Superman, is the idea that they both share is I can't do this without you, and you can't do this without me.
Right.
And that carried over into this, where Batman was like, we gotta get Superman back. This technology can raise him.
Yeah.
And, you know, Wonder Woman was like, no. Batman was like, yeah, we need our muscle. Because that's the way he is in the Justice League. Like, anytime Superman's in trouble, Batman risks his life to save him because he knows, you know...
Superman's what will help carry
Superman
on.
Is the muscle.
Yeah.
Like, I know all the other people have powers, too, but he's Superman.
He's the god of the group.
He's the bouncer, so to speak, of the Justice League. Is this guy still bothering you?
Right. So, answer me one question. What did you think about the tactical armor Batman suit at the later part of the movie? Not the Dark Knight Returns version.
I like it, and that plays into what I was saying about, you know, him upping the ante on his equipment, because when he's in Gotham City, again, you saw him with just the normal... It wasn't even armor. It was just like a suit.
Yeah, it was a suit with maybe his armor underneath.
There's some concussion, or however you say it, stuff under that. But this is full-blown armor, Dark Knight Rises style armor.
And I think they did a really good job on
because he's not fighting the Riddler; he's fighting parademons and otherworldly, like big, scary space
eater people.
Yeah, like Steppenwolf. So he's got to up his game, and he did.
Yeah,
but I thought it was cool. I thought it looked cool. I thought it was great.
Out of a 1 to 10.
There was a moment in this movie, I'm not going to lie, where I actually asked myself, you know, subconsciously, I was like, is Batman going to die in this movie?
Yeah.
Because they spent so much, again, they kept saying, you've been doing this 20 years, how long can you keep doing this? Like, and they kept making so many references to, like, how long he's been in the game and how he's, like, maybe towards the end of his game. And he's always the sacrificial, like, he'll sacrifice himself because he doesn't care if he dies.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about Batman. Like, he died when his parents got killed in the alleyway. Like, every day he has past that where he's fighting criminals is just an added bonus.
Right.
And
you know, you kind of
he doesn't really, he has this reckless abandonment where you know, like Aquaman was like, that was your big play, is to get killed? You really are crazy. And that's the way Batman is. He always goes into it like, I'll probably get killed doing this, but oh well.
Yeah.
You
know, they talk about that when him and evil Superman are talking, you know, it's just like after that.
She said, yeah, he could have killed you. He's like,
I was willing to die for that, you know.
And so for a minute there, I was like, what if their play here is to kill Batman in this, and then maybe next movie, I don't know what they would do, like bring in Nightwing, or, I mean, there's a lot of things they could do. They could try to do like a Batman Beyond where Terry Guinness comes in as Batman or something like that.
I don't know.
For a second there, I was kind of like, is Batman going to die?
Because there's a Nightwing movie in the works, but that would be jumping the gun.
I mean, Nightwing exists in this universe, because you have a dead Jason Todd, you've got a Nightwing.
Yeah.
I mean, because you wouldn't have Jason Todd if Dick Grayson hadn't gone on to be Nightwing. So anyway,
on a score of one, or scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate the movie at? Not going off of any Rotten Tomatoes or bull crap.
11.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because our amps go to 11.
Oh, yeah.
Spinal Tap.
I was thinking the same thing. Mine would be an 11.
I'm serious. I liked this better than Man of Steel, which I really liked.
And it's better.
I liked it better than Batman v Superman, which I really like. I like Batman v Superman better every time I watch it. I really liked Wonder Woman. This is better than Wonder Woman, because I think Wonder Woman's shown even more as a character in this, and the Amazon women were even more badass in this.
Yes.
The first time to see Flash and Cyborg on the big screen, I was really excited about that, and Aquaman. Yeah, I like this better than the Avengers, the first one and the second one.
And
I like both of them a lot.
I'm excited to see what the future holds for the DC universe.
Oh yeah, for sure. And again, if for some reason you're glutton for punishment or spoilers don't bother you, and you've listened this far and you haven't seen it, trust me, just us sitting here rambling about it doesn't do it justice.
No, absolutely not.
Pun intended. You need to go to the theater as soon as possible and watch the Justice League and get some justice for the league.
There you go.
I think we should end it right there.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to say?
Say it one more time. Get some justice for the what?
Oh, you know one thing I forgot to admit? I just forgot to bring up. I saw in my notes just now. I really hated we didn't see Morpheus in this movie. Lois Lane and Clark Kent's boss.
Oh, yeah, Perry White.
Yeah, I really liked him. I really liked his portrayal of that character.
I hate that we didn't see Manus in this movie.
But we might see him in the extended cut.
Yeah.
So anyway, like I said, if you've been listening this far and you still haven't seen the movie, trust me, we can't even do it justice, pun intended, sitting here babbling about it. The only way to get justice for the league is to go watch it for yourself and let us know what you think about it.
Booyah!
Are you looking to reach a wider audience? Are you looking to get your name out there? Are you looking to go to the next level with advertisement? Well, think no more. Advertise with us at Kill Pop Culture.
Just tell us a little bit about your business and leave the rest to us. We'll build you a state-of-the-art commercial to be played every episode.
We're only going to take on about one or two more sponsors, so be sure to grab these slots up before they're gone.
We have plans to fit any budget, and we can build a commercial for any type of business.
Email killpopculture69@gmail.com today.
I saw on the news today, there was a man, I think in California, he got funding from some flat earth people, and they built a rocket.
A what?
He was going to launch himself, like they're having to postpone it now because the U.S. Bureau of Land Management, I don't know what that is. He was going to launch himself like 2,000 feet up in the air in a manned small, like a little rocket.
Yeah.
He's done it before. Not that high. He went up like 1,000 feet one time in like 2014. And this guy, he's a 61-year-old limo driver. And he was going to go up 2,000 feet and try to collect evidence about the world being flat. And the Bureau of Land Management said, no, you're not doing that. That's too dangerous. But like, there's a picture of him right there standing by his rocket.
You know why they're saying...
Like, there's just enough room for him to get in that rocket.
You know why they're saying he can't do that? Because they don't want him to find out the truth, maybe.
Maybe. It says, Hughes is a 61-year-old limo driver who spent the last few years building a steam-powered rocket out of salvage parts in his garage. His project cost him $20,000, which includes Rust-Oleum paint to fancy it up and a motor home he bought on Craigslist that he converted into a ramp.
What?
Hughes was set to launch his rocket between 2 and 3 p.m. on Saturday. His plans have been in the works for more than a year, and he initially told everybody that he was approved for the launch, but the BLM came in and said no. Because this went, like, nationwide. Like, everybody was like...
Yeah.
But you're right, maybe they went, he might actually be able to prove this, so...
Right. He's going to have to go to, like, Israel.
We haven't delved into conspiracies a lot.
He's going to go out into Israel or somewhere and launch it.
No, I think the thing is he was on public land, and he's going to have to go to private. Because I don't think they can technically stop you from doing that.
Hey, homie.
I mean, he did it before. In 2014, like I said, he went up like 1,000 feet in a rocket like this.
I don't know how
And he didn't die. It messed him up a little bit.
I don't know how much land he needs for that, but I've got 4 acres of land that I will gladly let you, like, shoot your rocket off from.
So I thought that was something, you know, if Joseph Mask listens to this, that he would be really interested in knowing.
Joseph Mask probably is that guy.
I know we teased Joseph about being a flat earther.
We have our own conspiracies.
We're going to get into conspiracies on here one day. I know we tease it a lot, but we haven't. Yeah, I'm a sucker for a good conspiracy.
I've got one for you.
We were just talking about a new one the other day. But yeah, I digress.
Yeah.
So, what did y'all think about Justice for the League? Do y'all agree? Do you disagree? I would actually like for someone who does not like this movie
to
email us. And tell me, because I want to hear that side of it. Like, because in my mind, I can't imagine what you wouldn't like about this movie.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you have some points to be made, I'll listen to it. I won't agree with you, but I'm mature enough to listen to people that I don't agree with.
Yeah.
Because I would be seriously interested in seeing what could you possibly not like. Other than, I mean, again, you can nitpick anything. I named off the two things I didn't really care for, but they weren't big things.
Right.
Like, I even understood why they did the Superman
thing. And I kind of went off of yours and talked about the one thing I didn't like about the movie.
And if I really just tried... And that's why I'm glad we waited a few days from the time we saw it to the time we did this podcast. Because sometimes you're just kind of starstruck. Like, oh my God, we're finally seeing the Justice League on the screen. And you get all caught up in... And the fun of the fact that you're seeing these characters together, you might be a little overly biased.
Right.
But we've waited a few days, we've had the cool down period, and we still feel the same way.
Exactly. You know, if you're taking time to nitpick every single scene of a movie to try to give it a bad review, you're missing out on the movie. That's my opinion about it, and I stand firm with where I stand.
So hopefully you'll agree. If you don't, we still want to hear from you either way. Let us know what you thought about it. Give us your rundown, your take on it. You know? Well, I guess that's all we have on this podcast. We will definitely see you again around Star Wars time.
It's maybe only a couple more weeks away.
Yeah, that's not that far away. Like, our breaks are not that painful.
Not like last year.
Yeah, our break was longer last year than I thought it was. But here we are doing a podcast in November, like a week after Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Again, I hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. If something happens and we don't do Star Wars, I hope you have a very Merry Christmas. I hope your holidays are great. Spend time with your family. Eat a lot of food. Get really fat. Drink a lot of beer. Watch a lot of good shows and movies. And listen to Kill Pop Culture when you get a min.
Yeah. Oh, you've definitely got to keep up with this from this podcast to the next one, because in a couple of weeks, we may have beer to talk about.
Yeah, it's only going to take a couple of weeks to ferment. Yeah, we'll talk you through all that. For those of you who are interested in homebrewing that listen to this,
stay tuned for details. We'll, even if we don't talk about it on here, we'll post about it if we get some footage up on YouTube or something in the near future. We talk about it on one thing or the other. We're always busy on social media one way or the other. So, just tune in.
Once again, thanks for listening. This has been another episode of Kill Pop Culture. We're broadcasting live from high atop the first and only floor of the Kill J Ranch. That was a good bell ring.
That was a very good bell ring. It was very ambient. I used a big word.
Love you, bye.
Love you, man. Those new band shirts look awesome. Where did you get those done?
At Anarchy Design.
They do screen printing now?
Oh yeah, they do professional custom screen printing at a very competitive rate.
Well, where can I find them?
Look them up on Facebook, facebook.com/anarchydesign69, or email them at anarchydesign69@gmail.com. You can check out some of their work on their Facebook page. When you're ready to order, you can send them your idea, or they can design it for you. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com.